Yes, there's one. And well, he's a scientist, and he could handle it.
Well, thank you, Mike. Let's give Mike a hand for his presentation. And we will take some questions now. But while we're doing that, I want to just remind you that we do support this ministry through free will offerings. So if you feel inclined to help to bring in speakers like Mike, you'll feel free to contribute. So I'll ask Don and Warren to come forward and just do that while you think about your questions. And just to reiterate what Mike said about his 5-day course, yes, my wife and I were there last summer for their course, and Randy and Sheila, who will also be teaching tomorrow at the CEC class at Grace Academy, they've also gone through those 5 days of training. So if you want some experience with 1 day of training, which is a miniature version of that, you'll cover some topics, but certainly not all of them, then think about that. We can still take a few signups. Randy and Sheila are in the back, and go see them about that if you have an interest still. So let's, yeah, if you want to, yeah. No, make it out to the Apologetics Forum, and those are tax deductible if you write a check and get credit for that at the end of the year. So questions that people may have.
Okay, we'll start in the back. You had your hand up first. Yes, sir.
I don't know how to quite ask this question, but I'm going to try. Have you noticed a cross parallel between the news media, the television, movies, and the colleges, the message, the secular message that is getting across to everyone? Do you think there's an interplay? Do you think it works together? And why? And who's behind it?
Okay. I've noticed a cross similarity between what we hear in the news media, politicians, even the colleges. Yes, they're very similar in what they teach. And who's behind it is Satan. Satan is behind it. So there is a conspiracy. It is a spiritual battle. We need to understand that. The whole thing we're in is a spiritual battle. It is not a scientific issue in here. What we see is the same thing. Same-sex marriage, abortion, evolutionism, moral relativism. Those four. Most everything we have, all these ideas, evil things, are coming out of two philosophies, evolutionism and moral relativism, which are diametrically opposed to each other. Because evolution believes what? Real absolutes in science. Moral relativism says there are no absolutes. And people are out there living in contradictions. But this is what our students are being taught. But yes, there is a combination. All this is coming about. What that means is we have a big job to do, and we need to go out there and get started. Don't wait for the next person. We need to get ourselves trained. Parents, you need to make sure you get trained to protect your children and your grandchildren. Don't think that they're going to be okay. You're going to lose them. Where we lose a lot is the first week of college. Before they take their first class, we lose them. It's called welcome week. That welcome week, they will either take a class, they're told they have to go through this one class for a week, or they have to belong to a group. And what do they learn in those groups? Drop your religious beliefs and start thinking gay marriage is normal, abortion is normal, and that's what they train. And our students cannot handle that unless they're equipped. And our Christian schools need to up the ante and get there. They need teachers trained who can do this. I live right next door to a classical Christian school in Boise, Idaho. Found out they don't have a clue about creation evolution. Found out there's students going to college. This is one of the top academic Christian schools in the country. There's a wait list to get in this. People move there to get in this school. But what they don't know is they're losing their children in colleges because they're not prepared.
Very important. Are there other questions?
Yes, we had a No, you can sit.
At
attention.
Okay. you were mentioning deceive, and I really believe that our society, especially our Christian community, needs to understand that we've been deceived through the Word of God and misinterpretation of the Word of God. I just totally believe that that we've been really deceived. Let's just take the Antarctic Treaty, 1961 to 1971. General Admiral Byrd, do you know anything about him?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, he discovered some land there, okay? And we can't go to that land because the government's 50 countries have not let us, any strangers go there at all, any people at all, okay, unless you're a scientist or a government, okay? Why is that? Why are we being deceived from NASA? The word NASA itself means deceive, okay? So why are we so, you know, we're deceived by education, but in the churches we're being deceived from even the Word of God. And I don't understand why we can't come out and just stand up. You asked earlier, who's for flat earth? Well, I am. I've done some study on it. Why does anyone not want to stand up for flat earth? Have they done their research?
In other words, a belief in a flat earth?
Pardon me?
A belief in a flat earth?
Do I believe in the flat earth? Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And the reason being is because there's over 145 scripture that backs it up, okay? And I'm willing to be laughed at for the cause of Christ, okay? And I'd like to get together with you or anyone else that can disprove flat earth and prove that there is a globe earth, because the globe earth, there's no real pictures from NASA. They're all CGIs, okay? They're all fake. They're all pictures, drawn pictures, like you would show with the fossils, okay?
Okay. Let's go on to another question. I'll answer that one later.
Yeah, back here.
Because the Bible does say, never says flat earth. You'll have to show me those scriptures without taking anything out of context. Okay, let's go to another question.
Carbon-14 in diamonds. Diamonds supposed to be, what, millions of years old? No way carbon-14 could be in there. Why don't they, is there a substance, maybe quartz, that's not supposed to have any carbon-14 in, that they could set the standards at their laboratories and say, this is your background radiation?
Okay, diamonds have carbon-14.
They have carbon-14, supposed to be millions of years old, so they say, well, it's background radiation.
Okay. Okay, the interesting thing about diamonds is they're a very special kind of stone. We don't find carbon-14 in anything but basically organic material, like once living things. So why do we find it in diamonds? Well, diamonds are a very special kind of stone because they're made up of pure carbon. That's all a diamond is pure carbon. You get carbon deposits, so they have carbon-12, 13, and 14 in them. But after about 100,000 years, all the datable carbon-14 should be gone. So why is it still there? Diamonds are almost immune from contamination too, hardest substance. What are they doing about this information? Ignoring it. It's pretty much what they're doing. Same thing for the dinosaurs. They're either ignoring the information that we're finding carbon-14, soft tissue, DNA, and proteins, and red blood cells in dinosaur bones, either ignoring it or just saying contamination, which we can rule out too. Or, this is their big one, there's some unknown process for preserving dinosaur tissue or soft tissue for 65 million years. And that's what our students are learning, and they don't have to defend against that. So as far as calibration, we understand pretty well about carbon-14, the decay rate. It has a half-life about 5,730 years, so we're pretty accurate on that. So there should be absolutely no carbon-14 left in diamonds. But if we're finding it in diamonds all over the world, then that can't contribute that to contamination, because we're taking them to the evolutionist labs and finding this. If it was contamination in the dinosaur bones, that can't be. Because if it was due to contamination, we should find some bones that have very little carbon-14, some bones that have a lot of carbon-14. We're finding a consistent level in carbon-14 in dinosaurs all over the world, which rules out contamination. So we're a pretty strong case there. We win dinosaurs. We should win every area of science today.
Question. I was wondering, excuse me, there's an interesting geological feature over in central Washington where two rhinoceroses were,
rhinos.
Rhinos, there you go, were buried in about 200 feet of what they call lava. And I was wondering if you've heard about that or investigated it yourself.
I've heard about it, but I have not investigated it personally.
Love to show it to you, but two rhinos were mother and baby were entombed, and you can even feel the skin.
Yes.
as the cavities there, the bones were taken out by a college. But it is interesting, and it would be neat to have a creation scientist look at that and try to interpret this, because obviously the evolutionary model just doesn't, it's just too impossible to have the perfect skin and buried down there. So it'd be interesting to have
I agree.
Scientists.
It'd be very interesting to see what they come up with. I've only heard about it, read about it, but I haven't done any study on it. I'm more interested in the dinosaurs because that's a killer. Why we're finding lots of soft tissue there.
Another question.
So if an evolutionist would use the same three critical questions to a creationist.
And that's a fair game, too, and they should.
Yeah, what I'm saying, how do you know it's true, et cetera, et cetera.
Then I love that question.
So they say it to us, we say it to them. Then
right.
What do we do?
Okay, here's the typical question you might get. Why do you believe the Bible? Now, that type of question, why do you believe the Bible? Doesn't matter what religion they are. The question is, why do you believe the Bible? So don't talk about any other religion. You have a wonderful opportunity to evangelize now. You're going to tell them why you believe the Bible. And you can go through several things. Well, I can look at archaeology. It has a pretty good track record, doesn't it? The history. You have a good track record there. We have good history. How about prophecy? It's about over 20% prophecy in the Bible. It's pretty accurate there, too, 100%. We can look at science, scientific evidence. The Bible's not a science book, but it does talk a lot about science. It talks about the stars being too numerous to count. Well, that was way before we had all this modern astronomy. Guess what? They're too numerous to count. You could count a star every second for 3 billion years. You still wouldn't even be close. You wouldn't even be close. Manuscript evidence. Tremendous amount of manuscript evidence. So we have a lot, and we can even talk about the resurrection. There's a lot of overwhelming evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have that. And then what we need to do is tell them, when we talk about the resurrection, tell them, this is why I believe, and you get right to the gospel. You need to get to the gospel presentation in this, because that's what they're asking. Why do you believe the Bible? It's changed my life. And let me tell you how it changed it. John 3:16. It's kind of like a mini gospel there. Most people know that. This is how I do the gospel, John 3:16. Well, what about John 3:17? What does it say? For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be, good, saved. If you don't understand that word saved, you don't understand the gospel. What does saved mean there? Well, we got to go back to the book of Genesis. Saved from what? Why do we need to be saved? First three chapters of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's the creator. That means he sets the rules and standards, right? That's why it's so important, that very first verse. That's why we call him Lord also. Okay, he created everything. How good was it? It was perfect, wasn't it? Thank you for asking this. It was a perfect creation. How do we know it was perfect? Genesis 1:31, he called it very good. Does that mean perfect? Absolutely, because in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says the works of God are perfect, and creation was the works of God. Then he gives one rule. Adam and Eve, one rule. Don't eat the fruit of this tree. If you eat the fruit of this tree, you're going to die. What did Satan say? What did God say to him? If you eat the fruit of the tree, you will surely die. Let's be careful of that. The translation there is not the best. You will surely die. The word for die and the word for surely are the same Hebrew word. Dying, you will die, is the more correct translation there. Meaning, if you do this, you're going to eventually die. So the physical death process started there. The spiritual happened immediately. So Adam and Eve broke the rule. God kept his promise. He keeps his promises. We spiritually died, and the physical death process started. Then what does God do then? At that point, we are separated from a perfect and holy God, aren't we? What I'm telling you is this whole thing about saved. We're separated from a perfect and holy God. And you know what hope we have at that point in the gospel? None. We are absolutely without hope at that point in the gospel. This is why it's so important for churches to preach the whole gospel and not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're setting us up for failure. They have to give the bad news so we can fully appreciate the good news. So now we're without hope. So now we need to turn to the good news. And where's the good news start? Genesis 3:15. God gives the first promise of victory in a Savior. And he fulfills that. And guess where? John 3:16. See how it all comes around there? That's getting to the gospel. and then you can go on with the rest of it. That is not what we can do. It's not our works. There's only one way to get there. No other name under all of heaven other than Jesus Christ can we be saved. And it's only by his grace and the faith he gave us that we can be saved. It's not what we can do ourselves. He says we need to have real, true repentance there. Godly sorrow can lead to salvation. Not salvation, but lead to salvation. He tells us that. So we do need to have that repentance. You know what he also says? You don't have an excuse. No one has an excuse for not believing the greater. No one. John, Romans 1, 19, 20. Then he finishes, I finished the gospel, Romans 10, 9. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Think about that sentence. Confess what? Confess means you're making a promise. Promise what? Jesus is going to be Lord of your life. That means heart, soul, and mind. Giving everything to him. And then you'll be saved. Saved from what? Eternal punishment. That is the gospel we need to be preaching in our churches. But many pastors don't believe the full gospel because they bought into this evolution thinking and bringing it into the church. Some are afraid to teach it because they have different ideas in the church. And we have our professors in our Christian universities teaching billions of years, which distort the whole foundation of the gospel. Notice, before we start talking the world, we need to clean up our own act, don't we? How can we tell people to believe God's word when we don't believe it ourselves? You had a pretty good point. Thank you for that. You don't have to do any push-ups.
See, so you push the right button on the mic and you get the whole gospel.
I love to give the gospel. It's my favorite thing to do.
Thank you. That was excellent.
Thank you.
By the way, it tells us to study, to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
2 Timothy 2:15.
Yes, sir. And if you read Genesis, memorize 1 Genesis. It puts everything in the right sequence for creation of man. It is factual. That's a fact we can stand on.
Yes.
Now, you look at these facts, take that geological column. You cannot find that anywhere in the world. They date by what they have said. This means this. This means this. This means this. We find it, and there you go. They make a lot of assumptions.
Circular reasoning is what they use. They use the fossils to date the layers and the layers to date the fossil, and they get away with that.
Amen. And there's one other thing. There's about 104 ways to date fossils. 99 of those show a young age.
That's right.
5 show an old age. What do you think they use? Okay. Let me tell you, our word is true, God is true, and if we don't stand up and speak up, you're a wimp. We are Christians, and God stands behind us. Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much. Heinz?
Thank you.
If nobody has a question, we're either done or I'll ask questions and then you're in real trouble.
But let's take one more question.
Okay, one more
and
question.
Then we'll break.
Is this about my grandchildren?
No, I wish you would. No, if I'm not understanding where you were saying as far as carbon dating being 80,000 or 100,000. So are you saying that the Bible is not, you know, showing the earth is 6,000 years old, but rather
No.
That,
okay, good question. And I'm not saying the earth is that old. How they do the dating in carbon 14, the half-life of carbon 14 is 5,703 years. In other words, every 5,730 years, half the carbon has decayed back into nitrogen. But it's also being created in the upper atmosphere by bombardment of cosmic rays. What we do is take a sample population of carbon 14 atoms, see how long it takes some of it to decay, because we never know when an atom is going to decay. We just don't know that. So we take a population, see how long it takes some of it to decay. We run that experiment over and over and over again, and we get a consistent answer. Then we extrapolate that back. How long would it take half of it, and how long would it take all of it? So there's an extrapolation in all these dating methods. And we believe for carbon-14, we're pretty close on that. Some of them, we have an extrapolation of billions of years. It's a little bit wishy-washy, but carbon-14, I'll buy into that one. So it's not that the Earth is old, because the Bible does teach about a 6,000-year-old Earth. Where do we get that from? Genesis chapter 5, the genealogies. You line those names up, we see Adam was living at the same time as Noah's father, and Noah was living at the same time as Abraham's father. The ages overlap. So we know the time from today back to Jesus about 2,000 years. Jesus back to Abraham about 2,000 years. We have enough written records for that. The only time in question is Adam to Abraham. and you go through those genealogies, that gives about 2,000 years. Let's do our math. 2,000 plus 2,000 plus 2,000 is about what?
6,000.
Pretty easy, isn't it? Oh, but wait a minute, Mike. Wait a minute. I'm going to cover all the bases here. You forgot something very important. I'm doing the same things they'll do, because I grew up an evolutionist. Couldn't there have been millions of years of time before Adam? No. Jesus took care of that, because he believed in young earth. In Mark 10, verse 6, Jesus makes this statement. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. What did Jesus just tell us? Man and woman were on the planet from the beginning of the creation, not after millions of years. We got an airtight case, don't we? So why don't all the pastors believe this? They've been secularized.
Okay, let's thank Mike for that presentation and the Q&A. And Mike will be available at the back table afterwards. If you want to talk to some more and ask him some more questions, feel free to do that. I'm going to bring up the last slide here. And just to remind you that next month we have J.D. Mitchell, who is a geologist, an engineer, and he speaks and has written books on creation versus evolution. So he'll be here next June the 3rd, Friday, June the 3rd, and he'll talk about what's happening in the church. You know, how do we reverse the secularization of the church that we see happening? What do we have to do to make that happen? And in his credentials, he's been doing this for quite a few years, speaking on these kinds of topics. So you'll want to hear him speak. Just to remind you, on the back table, we have a whole bunch of brochures which tell you more information about the apologetics forum. If you want, you pick up some of these brochures on the back and feel free to bring them back to your church and let them know what we do here. Remind you that there are three groups having book tables there: the Apologetics Forum itself, CAPS is another book and mostly DVD table there, and then Mike has some books and DVDs at his table as well, as well as some more information. We have a CD we give out on our table, the Apologetics Forum table. It's called the Fallout Criteria, the fallout problem that we have. It's put together by CMI, and it answers the question, why do our youth leave the church? What's missing? And so it's a short video, 25 minutes, and it's free. But if you pick one up, you got to promise to pass it on to somebody else after you've listened to it. And that's why we make it for free. So pick up brochures, trifolds, et cetera, on that. Some of you may have heard about the movie Is Genesis History? That was shown in the theaters here a few months back. It is now available on a DVD. We have copies of that. We had 15 for the last meeting, and they're all sold out, but we've got 10 more. So if you missed out and you still want to get that DVD, go to the apologetics table and you can get that. The other thing that I want to make you aware of, I think most people get this magazine at home. It's called the Hometown Values Savings Magazine, HVSM. And it comes out, I think, once a month or so. And there are ads in there, coupons. Well, we got ourselves listed in here now too. So if you want to know more about the Apologetics Forum, you can refer to that as well. Starfetti, he was here a few months ago speaking, and he's written quite a few books under the auspices of Creation Ministries International. And we now have some more books from him, including the Genesis account, which is a very detailed commentary on the first 11 chapters of Genesis, including the modern scientific issues are addressed there. So with that, we're going to take a break. There's refreshments there, and of course, look at the resource tables. And if you do have an